Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Hear from God, to be convinced. Everybody say convinced that this is God's leading you. Amen. It's sometimes it's so hard. I remember when I was younger and trying to discern the leading of God. And it was always fleece. You guys know what fleeces are? You throw it out there, say, Lord, if this is for you, give me a sign. Or Lord, if this is from you, give me a dream. Or have somebody come up to me and say something. You know, you go to church and Lord, you know, have them come to, you know, and that's fine. And finally, God told me, you don't need that. I was surprised because, you know, I thought that's the way you did it. You know, hey, God confirmed. No, he says, you have to just know that I'm speaking and then you have to trust me. I will confirm the word. The Bible says, let everything by the mouth of two or three witnesses be established. Now, it's interesting. That scripture originally comes out of their jury system, if you will, or their legal system. Because it says, no person shall be put to death unless there be two or three witnesses that saw the crime. But in the New Testament, Paul said, let everything be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. And he took it out of the context of the legal system. Did you guys notice that? You notice that shift? So now God tells us things and he does it in twos or probably threes. Probably three because he is God of the triune. He's the Father, he's the Son, and he's the Holy Spirit. Huh? So just know that when you hear God speaking to you or God reveals something to you, he will show you and unfold it, and then somebody else who you don't even know is going to come and confirm your word. And that's how you know God is speaking. Amen? All right, so let's get back to our message. And thank you guys. I want to say thanks to all the people that did come with us, Tamron, Monica, Jane, braved all 3 days, and Unique even made two out of the three. So we got next time we're gonna try to get a bigger vehicle so more people can come, because we can't take that many people because we had all the equipment. We have to. Oh yeah, hey yeah, that'd be even better. And you guys can bring your own caravan. we have to take extra equipment because they don't have any mics. Well, they have mics, but they don't have enough mics for us. So we have to take the mics. Sometimes we have to take the mixer. Thank God we didn't have to use the mixer this time. We have to take amps. We have to take keyboards. And, you know, vehicles are just stuffed. And then we have the people. So, but, you know, in the future, maybe we can get a van. And we've been looking for a van, by the way, for a while. I haven't quite found one that we were pleased with, but we're still looking. So, in the future, we hope to do that. All right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, that you are reliable. Yes. You're dependable. We can know that you're real, and we can know that you always come through. And we can rejoice and command our hands and our feet and our soul to worship you, because you are good, and your mercy endures forever. And so we're so grateful that you didn't just say we were your servants, but you went the second step and you called us your friends. And then not only stopped there, but you called us your children. And Lord, we're so grateful for the exalted position that you've given us. We didn't deserve it. Your word says, while we were yet sinners, you died for us. And you made us new, even though we didn't even want to be new. So, Lord, we're so grateful that now we understand what you've done, and we can just thank you for it. And Lord, I pray that your word will always speak to our hearts. We're never in a place where we can't hear, nor our eyes are blind that we can't see. And so, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So now last week, I mentioned we did two things. We talked about we need to stop thinking like we used to think. Then we need to stop believing like we used to do. And I had Titus 2:10 in here. And I want to go back to that passage because I thought I had made a mistake. But then as I was trying to go find, I said, well, maybe I wrote it wrong. And so I went through every chapter 2, verse 10 in the Bible to see if I missed it. And it wasn't. I didn't miss it. So But as I was looking at it again, I said, okay, I see why I put it there. So let's go there real quickly so I can correct that error that I made there. So Titus 2, chapter 10 says this. Now, the context of this verse is about people who work for other people, okay? It says, exhort bondservants to be obedient to their masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, okay? So now remember, even though I just said we're children, we're friends, we're not just servants, but we still have a servant heart, if you will, towards God. Amen? So this is an application, although this is talking about when we're working for someone, it applies for when we work for God because we don't want to be a people that answers back, or this is another way of saying, don't talk back to your bosses. Amen? And it says, not pilfering, which is stealing, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn, and this is the part that I really wanted to emphasize, adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Amen? So that's the part I was going at. And so what I was saying is we need to believe differently because in our old nature, we were the person that did these things. We were the employees that talked back. We were the ones that took home pins from work. You got to watch that. You know, you don't want to take stuff from work that they didn't. Look, if they give you permission to take it, okay, you got all, you know, don't get carried away. Don't try to unhook the computers and take them home. But, you know, you could take pencils or pens or stuff, but don't get carried away. Be taking 10, you know, they got 10 things of pencils. Yeah, I'll take 12 of them. No, don't do that. My son used to do this. I'm not going to say which one. He used to go to the restaurant and just take gobs of napkins. And I didn't see him for a while, and then finally I saw him. I said, what are you doing? I said, why are you taking all those napkins? I said, we have napkins at home. And he had no answer for me. He just, I don't know. I said, then don't do it then. Don't do stupid things like that. And I said that back then. This was when he was young. But we have to be careful not to steal when we have permission to take. That doesn't sound like a contradiction, right? Because you have, it's just like, well, let's take the snacks here. I mean, we have snacks. People come here sometimes. How much are the snacks? Well, the snacks are free. But don't get carried away with free. You know, don't try to take all the water. Don't take all the juice. Don't take all the chips and all the cookies and nobody else gets it. Remember, you're sharing with other people. Amen? And so, and the reason why a lot of times people are charged for stuff is because people don't take consideration that other people are going to be coming behind you. And I don't know if you've ever watched people at restaurants when they put the condiments out there, and they just pump those things, and they got one, and they pump another, and they got like 10 things of condiments. And like, what are you doing? You didn't even order anything that needs condiments. And what are you doing? But that's the idea. We have to stop thinking like we used to think, believing that it's okay because I can do it because they said I can do it. But you learn to discipline yourself and to believe that, yes, I can do it, but I'm not going to do it just because I can do it. Amen? So that's what that passage was all about. But I also wanted to go to John chapter 46. If you guys get hot, let me know. Is it hot in here? You go, okay, all right, because I know it was cold this morning, so you probably, it's like, thank God it's heat in here, right? What did I say? I'm sorry, 12:46 is what I meant. There is no John 46. I'm writing new chapters. You guys didn't know I was adding chapter 40. Don't add anything. But you know the chapter designations are not, that's not God. That's man, right? Everybody knows that? The Bible was not written in chapters and verses. Most of them are just letters. All right, let's go. Let's start at 44 and just go through 46. Then Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me, him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." So the things that we believe cannot any longer have darkness attached to them. Amen? We have to learn to disconnect ourselves from our old belief systems. Because it's our old belief systems that carry us back into the fleshly world. Amen? So all the junk, everybody say junk. Everybody say junk. All the junk we learned that was not biblical, we have to start going through the closets and throwing it away. Amen? Because we have a lot of junk in our lives. Even if, you know, the guys were talking about how some of the guys had gone through lives of crime, and one guy was describing how people would overdose in his presence and they would try to revive them and all that kind of stuff. I don't have that testimony. I wasn't caught in the drug house. I never got high. I've never been drunk a day in my life. I've never been high a day in my life. Never been to jail. Never been arrested. And I don't say this to brag. I'd say this because that was my life. But I still was a sinner. Everybody said, you were still a sinner. And this is the thing about people like me. I didn't think I needed Jesus. Because what I just told you. I didn't get in trouble. I didn't do things wrong. I wasn't out trying to sell anything that was illegal. I was proud. But I learned that I needed Jesus, if not more, just as much as the person that was going through all that stuff. Because most people who go through lives like that know they need to get out of that life. Oh, man, I can't live this life. I'll be dead in a month if I don't get out of this. Well, I don't think that way. I'm the person that you drive up to and says, hey, do you want to sack Jesus? No, I'm okay. That was me. I'm okay. I don't need Jesus. But there was I had an encounter, a very scary encounter when I was like 16 or 17. I think I've shared this with you. I was asleep and I had a dream. And in the dream, the devil laughed out of my mouth. He was laughing in me through my mouth. And you know those dreams where you can't close your mouth or you can't open your hand or you can't move, you're just locked. I couldn't close my mouth to stop him from laughing. And that scared the daylights out of me because I was afraid of the devil. That's one thing I did. Now, I went to church, so I thought I was a Christian, but I had never really accepted Christ. So once I experienced that, I knew there was something I needed to change. And so I picked up this Jehovah Witness book, and thank God he didn't let me go there. Amen? I was searching. And because I didn't know the truth, I picked up what I thought was the closest thing to the truth. But God in his mercy revealed himself to me, and I didn't go off into some cult and get tricked by them. But now I understand how much I needed a Savior. Even though I was a clean sinner, I was still going to hell. I would have been the nicest sinner in hell, but I was still going to hell without Christ. Amen? So we have to understand that that life that we lived has to be disconnected from the life we now live. Otherwise, it'll pull us back into that old lifestyle. So here Jesus says, whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. So get rid of the darkness. Get rid of the dark sayings. Get rid of the dark, we talked about superstition briefly. Get rid of all that foolishness. That stuff has no basis in truth. There is no such thing as good luck. There is no such thing as, well, my horoscope said, no, there's nothing in the sky that can tell you what your life is going to be like unless it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Unless God opens his mouth like he did to Jesus and said, this is my beloved son whom I'm well pleased. That's what the sky can tell you. But anything else in there, they ain't got nothing to do with you. Matter of fact, the horoscope is actually the sign of Jesus being born. All that stuff, the lion, the virgin, all that stuff has to do with Jesus. Not, oh, you're going to meet some handsome man or you're some handsome woman or some rich, you're going to get a, forget all that nonsense. That's witchcraft. And God told them, stay away from astrology. He talked about astrology way back in the Old Testament. So don't even bother reading that junk. You know, people come up to me and say, well, what star sign are you? I say, I don't do that. I don't do that. I don't know. I know what sign I am, but I don't care. I ain't got nothing to do with anything. And so we have to divorce ourselves from stuff like that. And because our families, those that don't know God, they get caught up in all this kind of stuff. They want to do good things. Like I think I've said this, eat black-eyed peas on the first day of the year. What's that mean? What is that? You guys may not. Do you guys know that tradition? There's a tradition. Mostly it's a southern thing, but you're supposed to eat black-eyed peas on January 1st for good luck. What's that got to do with anything? I do, but that's the only reason I eat them, because I like them. They're not going to bring me good luck. They're not going to bring any. But that's darkness. But we see, we don't even think that's darkness. But that's darkness because it's not based on the light. Amen? So we've got to get rid of all that junk. And it's stuff like that that keeps people in bondage to their old life. Amen? All right, next thing we want to do is if we're gonna walk out into the new creation lifestyle, we have to stop leaning on ourselves and start leaning on God. Now, this is what we've been talking about, is trusting God. But look at this. We know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. But let's go to Joshua chapter 9. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible, not because it was a good story, but it just shows us how we can quickly, just do things that we shouldn't do things. Amen? And I'm going to just have to start at the beginning. I'm not going to read the whole thing, so probably just go through about verse 16. But the story is, now this is so important to remember. Are the children of Israel in the will of God when they come to take the possession of the promised land? Yes. Everybody answer that question. Yes. Were they in God's will? Was that God's plan for them? Yes. They're going to take the promised land. So they are in the will of God. Everybody said they're in the will of God. But in the midst of the will of God, you still have to be conscious of what you're doing. Because the enemy wants to take you off the course of God's will. He knows you're in God's will. Now he's trying to figure out how he can throw you off from being in God's will. So let's look at chapter 9. So this is right after the walls of Jericho have fallen. They've defeated Ai. They've come in there. They're possessing the land. And all of a sudden, this is what happens. Let's see. Let's go to Oh, I'm on Judges, and I'm sorry, not Joshua. Excuse me. And it says, and it came to pass when all the kings were who were on this side of the Jordan in the hills of the lowlands and then all the coasts of the great sea toward Lebanon, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, and the Perizzite, the Havite, the Jebusite heard about it, that they gathered together to fight with Joshua and Israel on one accord. But the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai. They worked craftily. Everybody say craftily. Now, when you hear the word craft, you know that somebody's up to no good. And it's usually spawned by the devil. Amen? And he went and pretended to be ambassadors. And they took old sacks on their donkeys, old wineskins torn and mended, old and patched sandals in their feet, and old garments on themselves. And all the bread of their provisions was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua to the camp at Gilgal and said to him and to the men of Israel, we have come from a far country. Therefore, make a covenant with us. What did God tell them to do? Huh? What did God tell them to do? Don't make covenants with anybody in the land. He didn't even say, he didn't say that they can make covenants. He can make covenants later with other people. But don't make any covenants. Don't make any deals with anybody. Amen? But the men of Israel said to the Havites, perhaps you dwell among us, so how can we make a covenant with you? So they knew what they were supposed to do. This is kind of like Eve. She knew what he said, but somehow she thought there was a loophole somewhere. Amen? But they said to Joshua, we are your servants. And Joshua said to them, who are you and where do you come from? So they said to him, from a very far country your servants have come. Because of the name of the Lord your God, for we have heard of his fame and all that he did in Egypt and all that he's just buttering him up. Buttering him up. That's what the devil does when he wants to get you out of God's will. He tells you things you want to hear. Everybody say that. The devil always tells you what you want to hear. God always tells you what you don't want to hear. Like, you need to put that down. You need to change the way you're thinking about this. And, you know, the flesh is like, I don't want to do that. But the devil always says, do this. Oh, man, you're so great. You're so wonderful. You know what? We are wonderful. We are great. Look how great we are. We're dominating this country. I don't know what they were thinking when they came against us.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
He goes on to say, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond the Jordan, Sihon, king of Heshbon, and I'm going to skip down to verse 13. And he said, these wineskins which were filled were new, and see, they are torn, and these old our garments and our sandals have become old because of the very long journey. The men of Israel took some of their provisions, but this is the key. Read that verse 14. But they did not ask the counsel of the Lord. Joshua had been talking to God all the time. What happened? Why did he choose not to ask him? Because he began to lean on his own understanding. We beat Jericho, well, and let's be honest, they didn't beat Jericho. God did. He pushed the walls down. They just walked in and took over. They did fight Ai, but they got beat first because they had done something they shouldn't have done. So they were overconfident and didn't ask God where these people were coming from. And that's what we have to be very careful of. When you lean on your own understanding, you rely on your own reasoning ability and your own natural discernment. Because we all have natural discernment, but it doesn't go to the level of God's discernment. Amen? In other words, sometimes you can look at somebody and say, something's not right. I was driving down the street yesterday. I was coming from picking up some new Tide envelopes. This guy's walking around and his clothes are falling off. I mean, literally falling off him. And I'm thinking, something's, and then I see him pointing to the sky and I say, okay, something's not clicking here. But that was just natural discernment. God didn't speak to me and say he's got some issue. But we have to go beyond our natural understanding and get to what God knows so that we can discern properly, even though we may have a sense of something not being. They had a sense that there's something not right here. They said, perhaps you're from close by. Perhaps you live close to us. They said, no. Look at our old food. Excuse me, our old bread. Look at how moldy it is. I mean, we pulled this right hot out of the oven. And our clothes, look at our clothes, we're all dusty. But they had already rigged this up at home and said, here, get the worst clothes you can find. Find the moldiest bread. Get the wineskin with the holes in it. And we're going to trick these people. But see, you can't trick God. You can't trick God. So no matter what people do, and this is so important for us, because we are subject to being tricked. We can be tricked. But if we depend on God, lean on him and not our own understanding, God can show you the truth about somebody or something. Amen? And so we have to, as we walk in the Spirit, we have to begin to trust the Holy Spirit to reveal what God wants us to see. Now, you guys, how many read the story of Elisha? You guys know the story of Elisha? You know, Elijah was the guy that called down fire, but Elisha followed Elijah. Elisha's discernment is really, if it weren't for Jesus in the New Testament, Elisha's discernment far exceeds most Christians. I mean, this guy is telling the king things that the king is saying thousands of miles away. Come on, man. I don't know of anybody that's hearing from God so much so that he can predict what a bad king is about to do to the nation. So he had discernment and insight, and it wasn't his. It was God's. And remember when they came to capture him all by himself, him and Gehazi. I think it was Gehazi. They called him his servant. Gehazi came later, maybe. He says, you know, look, they're coming to get us. He says, how are we going to do? He says, don't worry. There's more for us than there are for them. He said, wait. Do you see our army coming somewhere? He says, Lord, open his eyes. Elisha had a discernment that was, well, nothing less than supernatural. But this is, get this though. Elisha was an old covenant guy. What does that mean? That means Jesus hadn't come and he hadn't come to dwell in him yet. We have the Spirit of God that lives in us. Are you here? Are you getting this? That means we have access, greater access than Elisha does. Now that should blow your mind. Because this guy was amazing. Elisha was an amazing prophet. And actually, Elisha is a type of Christ. You might say, well, how do you say that, Pastor? Well, who was the forerunner of Jesus? John, right? John the Baptist. And what did they call him? Elijah. He said he had the spirit and the power of Elijah. Well, who followed Elisha? Elijah. Elisha, and then who followed John? Jesus. And Jesus had greater than Elijah, or John, right? He was greater than John. By far, we know that. But they're the types. And Elisha got a double portion of what Elijah had. So we have to learn to get discernment, insight that God makes available to us. All you have to do, the Bible says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask. And all they had to do in this chapter is ask God. Go back and inquire, just like Moses used to do. He said, I don't know what to do. Let me go inquire the Lord about this situation. That's why I wonder what would have happened if Moses had led the children of Israel in instead of Joshua. Not saying Joshua didn't do a good job, but Moses didn't play, man. Moses, you know, maybe that's what got him in trouble, but I mean, he didn't, you know, when God said, take him out, there was no question. We're taking him out. And they don't get to beg for forgiveness. There is no forgiveness. We're taking them out. They're gone. You say goodbye because you won't see these people ever again. But Joshua, and maybe because Joshua was a war man, even though he was a prophet, Joshua was a prophet, but he was also a war man. His thing was war. If you remember, if you go back to the very first war that the children of Israel fought, Joshua was leading that. Amen. When Moses held his hands up, he said, Joshua, go down and take care of those guys. Joshua was a fighter, and fighting was his thing. So sometimes in the midst, and this is, listen to me now, in the midst of a fight, sometimes you don't stop to ask God what's going on. You just want to fight. Amen. But as a fighter, you still have to back off and find out, is this the fight I'm supposed to be in? Amen. Because sometimes, and the thing about fighters is fighters just want to fight. I don't care, just fight. Some folks just love fighting. I don't know why, because fighting is ugly. I mean, you can't come out of a fight and feel good about it. You're going to take some blows unless you do a one punch and they're done. But usually, especially as old folk, fighting ain't good no more. It's like, oh, gosh, Lord, please. You know, don't tell me. I'm not saying I've been in a fight lately. I haven't been in a fight in a long time. But it's not a pleasant thing to go through. And remember, these guys are not shooting from 100 yards away. These guys are doing hand-to-hand combat with swords and axes. With axes and bow and arrows. And shields are the only defense they have. So to me, you better ask God and say, Lord, is this the fight we're supposed to be in? So we have to remember that because of our old competitive spirit, we have to bring that into subjection and allow God to direct it, even though we may think this is what God wants us to do. Because going back to what I said, they are in the will of God. They are doing the will of God. But in the midst of doing the will of God, the enemy is going to try and deceive you to throw you off. Amen? So we always have to be careful not to lean on our own understanding or our own abilities. Amen? Next, and then we'll close with this. We have to identify those things in our lives that do not please God. Now, this is a lifelong task. Okay? So this is not something you can go home and do, oh, yeah, I did that last week. No, this is something you're going to have to do again. So let's look at Psalms 26 and Lamentations 3:4. Psalms 26, verse 2. Says what? What does it say up there? Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart. That should be our daily prayer. Examine me, Lord. And there's another passage, and I can't think of where it is. Let's go to Lamentations 3:40. Lamentations right after Jeremiah. It's a little book Jeremiah wrote after the capture of Jerusalem. It says this: let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. And there's another passage, and I didn't get it, but it says, examine me, Lord, and see if there's any evil way in me. I think that's a Psalms. We have to look at our lives. We have to look at the things we do. We have to look at the music we listen to. Examine me, Lord. Examine my music, Lord. Is my music edifying you? Edifying me? And if not, you got to get rid of it. I know it's hard, especially for young folk, but look, I did it. My wife and I, when we got married when we were 20, okay? So we were just kids. But she had some old records. I can't remember some of them. I remember the spinners. And we threw them away. Because we just realized that brings up too many memories, secular memories. You might say, well, what's wrong with old jazz music, oldies and goodies and the Beatles? And look, let me ask you this, let me put it this way. What were you doing when you listened to that stuff? That's the bigger question. Because that's what comes back when you start listening to it. I mean, have you ever done the test? Go back and don't do that. But when you hear, I can just hear a secular song on the road, and it'll take me back to when I heard it when I was a kid. And this guy, when he used to play Parliament, Parliament was what I listened to when I was a kid. Now, you guys may not know who Parliament, do you guys know who Parliament is? George Clinton and all those guys? Yeah, well, Parliament was an East Coast group. And I have to be careful because your mind will take you back. And, there's one song he played over there, and I was like, Lord Jesus, that's the last song I need to hear. Because I associated that with stuff I had no business thinking about or doing. Okay? That's all I'll say about it. So I got to get that stuff out of my mind. As soon as I hear it, I say, I command that. I kick that out of my thoughts. And I turn on something else, or I start quoting scripture to undo that tape. Now, the reality is I can't take it out of my memory. But what I can do is I can keep it from taking authority in my life. Amen? Because my can't get, can't reach in here, get the tape off and erase it and put it back in. Well, I can't do that. But I can keep it from coming and controlling me anymore. And it's scary that you have that memory capacity. If you think about the bad stuff we've gotten, and this is why most people can't get over the bad things they go through, is because there's too many things that are attached to that memory that won't let go. And they can't seem to get free from it because the attachments that are hooked to it. And so they walk around, they're depressed, they're angry, they're hearing voices. People who hear voices, they call them schizophrenic. That's not, when you start hearing voices, those are demonic forces. It's just that simple. But there was a door opened that caused that demonic force to have permission to start talking to you. He's trying to counsel you. Because somewhere along the line, you asked him for counsel. Oh, that's scary now. I know I'm not trying to create a bad movie for you, but the devil doesn't have permission to do things unless you give him permission to do. Just like God can't override. Now, what the devil does, he tricks you. A lot of people because of drug use, alcohol use, the enemy comes in through those things. Sexual immorality, he can come. Any sin you do, he can come in. That's permission for the devil to come in. Any sin. And the problem is, and this is a thing about sin, sin doesn't stop just with that sin. It pushes you into doing more sin. It wants more control. It never gets enough. And so that's why you have to reclaim test territory from the enemy that you've yielded. And the way you reclaim it is you renounce the sin that you committed. You renounce the drugs. You renounce your allegiances. Some people have actually pledged allegiance to demonic forces, meaning that they said, we're on the same team now, so I'll do what you say. You have to renounce that allegiance. Think of it as this way. When you go to a country, usually you have to renounce your allegiance to that country and pledge allegiance to the new country. That's what Christians have to do. You have to renounce your allegiance to the world and pledge your allegiance to Jesus Christ and Him only. That's why God says, I'm a jealous God. You can't serve me and other gods. You can't do it. And the Bible calls Satan the god of this world. So we have to go through and find those buttons that keep us bound and get out from under their power. Because we now have power. The Bible says you have power over all the power of the enemy. Everybody say, all the power of the enemy. There's nothing that Satan can use against you to keep you that way unless you don't exercise your power. If you don't exercise your power, if you say, well, and this is where you don't exercise. You say, well, it's not that bad. Oh, just wait for a little while. It'll get worse. Oh, it's just a little thing. No, little things become big things. Everything in the kingdom of God and in the world is what's called a seed principle. Seeds are not big things, but they produce big trees. Amen? Amen? No seed ever produces one grape. I mean, you don't put a grape in and get, whoa, look, we got one grape. No, you get a grapevine. And the same with the devil. He plants one seed. Look what he did with Adam and Eve. He planted one seed of deception, and he reaped a harvest of sin in us. Billions of people out of one seed of deception. So he's not just after a little bit of advance. He wants a lot of advance, but he'll start with a little bit of deception. A little bit of off, a little off. So we have to be careful and then go through the things that we need to inventory in our lives and get it out. You know, get those statues of gods in your house out. Get them out of your house. They're not pretty. They're ugly because they're gods. Gods, G-O-D-S, not gods as in his. Amen? So we have to be careful not to, and this is another thorn I'm about to, getting ready to close. Our culture. We love our culture, but our culture is sometimes demonic in its origins. So we have to go back and see what is culturally we are holding on to that God needs to take out of us. And that goes, that's not, every culture was demonically inspired for the most part. So this is only from this. No, everybody's got things in our cultures that don't belong because they're not from God. So we have to go through all that stuff. And this has to do with a lot of stuff. Going back to those old wives' tales. Going back to, you know, some people even dedicate their children to demonic forces in some cases. Or dedicate themselves to whatever. Or, you know, in the Asian cultures, it's you pay homage to your dead ancestors. They don't care about you. They're dead. They have no power. But if you go back to World War II, the Japanese culture is still the same a lot. Pays homage to their ancestors. It's one thing to respect your elders, okay? So I'm not talking about that. But to worship them? No. We don't worship dead people. Dead people can't help us. Everybody say, dead people can't help me. They can't help me. Mary can't help you. I know that's a tight one. But Mary can't help you. Mary's dead like us. Jesus can help you, but Mary's dead. I was watching this old Cosby show, and this lady had lost her husband, and she thought Bill Cosby was her husband. Her husband was white, Bill Cosby was black, and she thought Bill Cosby was, she was having a delusion. And she saw her grandkids. Oh, look at the grandkids. He's come see your grandpa. She said, no, grandpa's dead. This is the little kid said this. She said, what did you say? It says, grandpa's dead. Then the delusion left, and she realized what she had done. That's how tricky the enemy is. He can get you to believe something that you know is not true. But because you want it to be true, you run with it. And so we have to be careful that we don't allow the enemy to take us on those rabbit trails. All right, I'm at the close. I was short last week, now I'm long this week. So anyway, I'm making up. But this is what gets us to that new creation lifestyle. Amen? All right, let's stand. Hallelujah. Well, I hope you're hearing what the Spirit is saying, not what Pastor Harold is saying, but the Spirit is saying. Amen? Because it takes the Holy Spirit to take us into those secret places of our heart to get that stuff out. We can't get it out. He can show it to us. Amen? So, Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit and how you come and bring truth. This is part of you revealing and showing us and taking us into all truth. And Lord, I pray that we give you permission to go into those dark places of our hearts, our minds, our memories, our activities, our cultures, our sayings, our belief systems, and just clean house. Get that stuff out of our lives that don't belong there. And make us new in you. Give us the power. Help us to exercise the power that you gave us. You said you gave us power over all the power of the enemy. So Lord, help us to begin to exercise that power. And Father, we thank you for your word. And may it bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless. We do have snacks out there, but then, you know, don't get carried away.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.